Welcome to season one of the Empowered Half Hour, Overcome and Thrive with Becca Powers. This is for you, the big dreamer, goal getter, quota crusher, business builder. If you find yourself looking for more, but need a little bit of inspiration, motivation, and empowerment to do so, you are in the right place. For centuries, we as humans have found the way to move forward in our lives through hearing the tales of other people's stories. And that's what we have in store for you today. So if you sit back, listen, I encourage you to find where you find yourself in the story of today's guest so that you can make the changes you've been looking for. And with that, it's officially tea time. Let's get started. Welcome to another episode of the Empowered Half Hour, where you get to find yourself in the story of someone else so that you can overcome and thrive. Today's guest is a very good friend of mine, and I am so excited to have her on. We have today Ro Farelli. Roshonda Farelli is the founder and CEO of Highest Potential Women, a coaching company designed for multi-sensory women. She specializes in conscious leadership, kundalini meditation, and women's issues, helping leaders around the world access their next level. She's also the author of True Friends, which you'll get to hear about today, a revolutionary approach to cultivating conscious feminine friendships, and the creator behind the Magnetic Geodes artwork brand and mentorship programs, which is fire. You can see one of her creations right behind her. So Ro is the creator of many things, and I just love her. Ro, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here. I love being here.
I love you too. So I want to know, what inspired you to write this book, True Friends, and what's the backstory to it?
I think, like so many other women, I just found myself struggling in my relationships with the friends in my life. And it wasn't something that just happened once or twice, but throughout the course of my life, starting in my very early teenage years and moving into my 20s and even into my 30s, and I'm 41 now. So it's not anything that really started to go away on its own until I started giving it the attention. It's kind of like begging for my attention to look into these relationships deeper. In one instance, I found myself surrounded by a group of really amazing women, but the relationship was not very authentic or intimate. There was no friendtimacy, right?
I like that word.
Yeah, I love that word. There was no friendtimacy. It was almost as if we wanted something from each other, but it was like unspoken. So I remember feeling like, okay, I've manifested these amazing women in my life, but there's still something missing here. And it wasn't really until I started looking at how I was contributing to these relationships and how they were just mirroring back my own energy.
Yeah, not to interrupt you, because I do want you to continue. But one of the things that I really liked as I was re-listening to the opening of your book this morning is that you did pay attention to some of the patterns. I know you'll talk more about that because it's really embedded in the book, but you talked a lot about the patterns that were in the relationships and how you found yourself even giving more than you were receiving. And that was a theme. I think the work that you're doing, and I want to continue to go into the story a little bit more of why you're here and why you're sharing this message with everybody. I feel like women relationships especially are ones where we don't know how to use our voice and we don't know how to navigate. So as you're just sharing that with me of what inspired you, I'm really feeling it. And I wanted to double click into that so the listeners will be like, yes, I need to get my hands on that book because it will change your life and perception and friendships.
It will change your life and your perception and your relationships with women. But adding to what you're saying about giving more to other relationships, something that I struggled with for a very long time was entertaining unbalanced relationships, where either I was overgiving, and the cycle that I noticed in myself was it was a friendship with a woman that I really looked up to. And the insecurity in myself was that I wasn't enough. And so I would overgive to that friendship. Mm-hmm. And That woman is just showing up how she shows up in the world. But I'm over here acquiring a friend that kind of abused the friendship, but not blaming her for anything. Not part of me required somebody to abuse the friendship.
Right.
But then it wasn't always me overgiving. And sometimes I found friends that would overgive to me and I would be like, oh God, you know, like back off a little bit. But I would still entertain because I got something from that other person. And
totally,
so it could go both ways. So those were like the main things. Like I found myself like overgiving or entertaining friendships where the other person was overgiving and it just wasn't really a balanced give take relationship. And then also just being surrounded by people that weren't being very authentic. And why am I finding myself in these mishaps and relationships? But the backstory on it, my daughter, we just actually celebrated my daughter's 12th birthday.
Happy birthday.
Yeah. So on her 5th birthday, I tell the story in the book, but I spent a lot of time and energy in planning for her 5th birthday party. And there was a tropical storm coming. And like there was a low list of RSVPs to begin with, but then the tropical storm came. So there five people and it was
everyone
like,
bailed.
It was kind of like they owed me a favor, like they were gonna be there. It's like, no, I was at your kid's party, you're coming to my kid's party kind of situation. And I was really triggered by that, and I felt a lot of feelings of unworthiness surface. Mm-hmm. And I had this like
big one
moment where I know I've heard you talk about hitting the ground kind of moment from your book. And I had the same situation. Like I literally fell to the ground, like sobbing. I had this flashback moment where I remembered what had happened to me. It was something I like locked away and forgotten about. You know how we do that when we go through.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
You hit the ground, like memories and thoughts just start flashing in front of you.
Yes. Yes, that's exactly what was happening. And I was taken back in time to my sweet 16 birthday party where nobody showed up. And it was devastating. But I laugh a little now because when I look back at it, I'm like, okay, nobody RSVP'd. And my friends, my good close circle of friends, they told me that they couldn't come that weekend. 3 or 4 girls can't come that weekend. They had something up, but I still determined to have this party. So no other RSVPs came through. I had no entertainment, no party favors, no decorations. My friend's mom surprised us like a fruit platter and a bag of chips. And it was in a really tight, my friend's very tiny living room. And all we had was a mixed CD of 90s hits. It was poorly planned. So I find it funny now. But then I had really been looking forward to it. And maybe didn't put a lot of energy in putting it together, but I did write out the instructions and hand them out to everybody.
And I did expect at least a couple people to show.
people to come, but nobody came. I felt so much shame in that moment and so much embarrassment. It was really painful. And so when I was preparing for my daughter's 5th birthday and that flashback happened, I was just like, this is so fucking painful. It was so painful. I couldn't even in that moment face all of my pain. And I asked God in that moment, like, hey, you have to help me heal this because it's so painful. I don't want to carry this down to my daughter. I don't want to pass this trauma on to her.
I love that. I want to pause real fast to really extract that so the listeners feel that. We, especially as women, and for my male listeners, just know that women, one of our greatest strengths is perseverance and resilience. And often we will endure pain. And in Rose's case, it was through personal friendships and relationships, and it was showing up in her daughter's birthday party. For me, my childhood replayed in my work, and I saw the patterns over and over again until I hit the bathroom floor. And she hit the ground too. In Rose's moment, she called out to God. And in my moment, I called out to God. And I just want to share that that is true surrender. I had a really hard time understanding what surrender was because I was trying to do it, think softly, or just like, oh, I'm letting go, and then not really letting go. And there's a beautiful thing, and I know you're going to go into it, but I don't want our listeners to like hit the ground, right? That's why you wrote the book. That's why I wrote my book. We're sharing ways for you to change, thrive, and surrender without having to go through so much pain. So I want to hear, Ro, what did you do to overcome and what happened there when you called out to God?
Yeah, well, nothing like magical came down.
Yeah.
I'm
sparks and angels flew.
I do believe that our prayers are always being answered, and it's whether or not we can catch up to them, relax enough around them in order to receive.
It's a great word, because I think that what I was alluding to, we move so fast and we power through and we persevere, that letting go is more about relaxing in.
Yeah. And one way, I don't think that I did it consciously. I put the prayer out there and I kind of moved on with my life.
Mm-hmm.
And that answer to that prayer was put into motion. I started becoming aware how I was creating these issues in my life. I became aware of the cycle that I was perpetuating with every relationship. Once I started noticing that, it became much easier to break the cycle because I became conscious.
Awareness is like gold.
That's it. It's just being aware in a non-judgmental way. Like, all right, it's Monday. It's 9 o'clock. This is where I'm at in my life. I'm not going to judge it. I'm just bringing awareness to it. It's as simple as that. I can right there begin to unwrap becoming aware of myself and how I was showing up in these relationships.
So now you have awareness, you're starting to pay attention to your patterns, you're starting to own your role in it. And I know that's where change and transformation takes place. But what I'm really curious to ask you next, what was one of your key learnings that you've gotten through this process?
Well, I think in the answers to that prayer, the universe is working in so many different ways because it is everything. So I began to receive teachings and teachers and book and videos just on different things.
Get the goosebumps as you say that. That's awesome.
Yeah, not directly to friendships. Some of them were, but then some of them weren't, but it translated to all the different areas of my life. And one of those things was really understanding on a deep level what taking radical responsibility is.
That in your book a lot.
Yes, that's actually the theme in my entire book. Taking radical responsibility for your physical health, career, your relationships with others, for your energy, for your spiritual connection. Just taking radical responsibility for your life, owning your 100%, not taking less, not taking more, just 100% in whatever that is to me and whatever that is to you or anybody listening. You'll know when you tune into it what your 100% is. It'll feel a little different. And once I got that, I was able to end the blame game.
The opposite of
radical responsibility is blame. So when we find ourselves in a victim mentality, I've already seen it from people who have been advanced readers of the book. They're like, I don't like that Amanda in that first.
I know. I just heard about Amanda again today.
She's very easy to villainize, but it's not about being a victim here. It's about recognizing that I required somebody like that in my life. And when you're in this journey of spiritual growth, you'll see what it was from your childhood that kind of led to those over-attaching behaviors. And for me,
100%.
I was abandoned by my biological father and then again by my stepfather who raised me until I was about 12. So I had mega abandonment issues and I was just hanging on for dear life. The friends that I loved and that I admired, they were my family. I still think of my friends as family. But I'm not in unhealthy attaching relationship with them. I can just let it go.
Yeah, you're not clinging anymore.
I'm not clingy anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know that I was clingy for decades. So now I see it very clearly. But it wasn't until I started taking radical responsibility and stopped blaming her and blaming them for all that was wrong in the world, in my world. Like, okay, how am I showing up here? How am I creating this issue? And how do I keep recycling this issue over and over and over again?
Yeah, I love that you brought up blame. And I'm going to prevent myself from going down that rabbit hole because there's so much that I just want to rip on right there. But I did some work too, some inner work and some spiritual work around blame. And it is one of those things that is very pattern creating. Like it makes you loop over and over again in those thoughts and patterns. And then you might move away from something, but then it will come back to you again in a different relationship, a situation. And so I'm really happy that you just brought up that blame game because it's so critical to take that radical responsibility. And the work you're doing is so important. That's going to bring me to my next question. please tell me, why are you so passionate about this topic?
Well, I think it's primarily because I was an only child. Honestly, I had to entertain myself a lot as a kid. I played by myself a lot. And when I did have a friend to play with, I can't even remember getting in like arguments with friends and being like, you want to play? Just play. Let her have her way so we can play. Don't waste your 1 hour with this friend arguing. And I think that's probably it. I'm just passionate about connecting deeply with other people and having more intimate, transparent, raw, real, couple shit type of relationships. Like, that's what I'm after. I'm sure not all only children are like that, but I have a special cocktail of trauma.
That's funny. You're like, that's how it shows up for me and my passion. But I have to attest, so Ro and I are friends, and we've met through Kundalini yoga, and we were in several programs together because there's different modules and stuff that we actually became friends outside of that. We saw each other and we're like, oh, hey, let's, it's COVID too. And it's like, how are you? Are you okay? Because I don't know. Okay. Let's meet once a month. And I bring that up because connecting with other women or just genuine friendships is really important. But I know your book centers around the feminine relationship. And I just want to say how powerful that is. We only connected once a month, but we were able to really, during a difficult time, keep our vibrations up. And we were talking about creative projects or things that we wanted to do or could do, or maybe it was a lower vibrational thing, but it would be brought up in a way of like, hey, I think I could rise above this, or this is what I'm kind of challenged with. And we gave this space to each other to just be authentic and supportive and listen. For me, I could tear thinking about it. I appreciated that so much. And I share that because I'm like tearing as I say that. But, you know, bro, you walk your talk. Right? It's just an attest to how important these friendships really are when you're willing to take that radical responsibility. I'm just telling you from being on the other side of it that I love being your friend.
I love hearing that. And I want to just share that this is why we need to have conscious feminine friendship. Mm-hmm. But the exercises that I share in the book are challenging, like clearing conversation, practicing the emotional intelligence part. But when you start to do those exercises, it dissolves the illusion. You will see very quickly who is for real your friend and who is just not really meant to be in your life. And they will move on. And the ones that are meant to be in your life, it will deepen the relationship. You will become closer. And it's about holding safe space, not always taking everything personally. If you do take something personally, you can most certainly share that because you're in a safe space to reveal yourself. And we need to have these type of friendships with one another, especially for women who are building something, who are really trying to create something for themselves, who are trying to advance in their careers, who, you know, maybe they want to write a book or start a business or they have a business. You need to have safe spaces, and you don't need to have a huge group of these women. I have a handful of them. That's all that I need. I don't even talk to them all the time. Like, some of them I talk to a lot more than others, and then others I'm just checking in 4 or 5 times a year. But I know that it's a safe space for me to reveal. It's the transparency that will bring you together. And those are the types of friends. Those are true friends. The girls that you want on your side, you want on your team, like you want to grow with. We grow together, right?
All day. That gives me the goosebumps. Because it's so true. But then I think of like growing more with you. You know, we have one of those friendships that it has depth, but we don't always have frequency. But every single time we are back in each other's orbit, it's like, let's go.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just a very deep person. I think I saw a tweet the other day from Elon Musk, and he said, small talk should be illegal. And I was like, thank you.
I feel that.
I feel that. I'm like, who gives a shit about the weather? You know, what are you feeling through right now? Let's get right to that. Let's get right to the point, you know?
I know. I love that about you. We have grown up in a culture where everything has been light or superficial, and not that labeling it as positive or negative, but it doesn't allow you to grow. It doesn't give you that space to really find out who you are. And in the spirit of true friends, it doesn't allow you to really have those true friendships where you can explore who you are safely with other people.
Yes. Looking at the world right now and all that's happening, a riot in China and in Iran, it's happening in the U.S. too. You can imagine women are still being paid less than men, mm-hmm. and we're not treated as fairly. The benefits are just not there, whether it's your time away after having a baby or returning to work because you were a stay-at-home mom for a little while and being judged for that, or just making less money. Nobody's coming to save us, right? I think that's a Mel Robbins quote. Nobody's coming to save you, but if you have some friends in your corner and you are up to rising to the occasion to create whatever it is that you want to create and leave a legacy, you're going to have a few friends.
Couldn't agree more. And that's going to lead me to my last question before we wrap up. How will this work of radical responsibility and true friendship empower somebody? How can it empower somebody to have a better life?
Well, I think that we all need to have strong women in our lives, and not just strong women, but strong women that are actually doing the work. They have that strength in them, but they also have the ability to soften up and get real with themselves and to see their own cycles and to do the work in transmuting that energy. I would love to see more women doing this work around the globe, because what it's going to do, it will completely change and shift the next generation of women. You're going to see more support. You're going to see more getting out of the way. You're going to start seeing less sabotage, more elevation. And you're still going to see some triggers and insecurities. Those aren't going to go away. But if you have the tools to meet yourself when things arise, it won't go on.
I have the goosebumps from head to toe. I'm like, preach.
We already know that the children that have been born since the 80s, the 90s, and now, they're a different being.
100%.
And there's a new human that's evolving. I believe that we are part of a different human race that thinks differently, that wants different things.
I would agree.
Out of that patriarchy. Instead of a them versus us, it's a diversity is our strength.
Love that.
It's changing the world, but bringing ourselves into the next evolution of the human race is what it's going to do.
I'm like clapping. I'm like, that was so awesome. All right. So as we wrap up, how can people find you? How can the listeners find you?
Yeah. So I would say go to my website, highestpotentialwoman.com. The book True Friends comes with little bundles. So if you go through my website, you'll be able to access a couple of video courses that accompany the book. And you'll also get not just the physical book, but you'll get a PDF and an audio book. So it's one bundle, it's $14.99. So that's available on my website, highestpotentialwoman.com. And you can always find me over on Instagram at Ro Ferrelli.
So awesome. I'll include everything in the show notes as well. Let's go ahead and wrap up. That is tea time today, folks. And Ro, thank you so much for joining the show.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you.
Well, that wraps up today's tea time. If you found today's episode inspiring, motivating, and empowering, after all, it is the Empowered Half Hour, please share and spread the good vibes with other people, your friends, your family, your coworkers. I say this all the time, but in a world where there's so much gossip and low vibe talks, spreading some good vibes and some empowerment can go a long way. So I thank you for being a valued listener of the Empowered Half Hour. And like Snoop Dogg and Dr. Dre once said, I'll see you in the next episode.